We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire. Three NFL draft. The Detroit Lions select Jahmyr Gibbs, running back, Alabama.
Back off, looks, Goff throws, caught inside the one, fighting for the end zone, and getting in for the touchdown, Detroit Lions, Amon-Ra St. Brown. There's the snap, he's got it, wants to throw, Wentz, looks, pressure comes, Wentz, hit, sack, back inside the 20, Aiden Hutchinson, that's number two.
Yo, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast, episode 343 on the Blue Wire Network. I am your host, Tyler Jomo, main guy, as always, Mr. Malcolm Hart. Malcolm, how are we feeling, my man?
Woo, what is going on, man? I'm back. I feel back.
Feel back?
I feel okay now, man. It took a little while to get over that that loss. I probably got over it yesterday.
Yesterday,
I mean, this has been killing me this whole time, man. Like, I've been checked out, man. It's completely like it really got to me, man.
I mean, I feel you to a certain extent. Where, like, as far as an off season, I don't feel as locked in as usual. Like, I feel like I'm a lot more up to date with what's going around in the draft and even free agency. And right now, it's just like, you know, I'm kind of just enjoying life and enjoying other sports right now. I know your Knicks are doing pretty well. My hockey team's doing pretty well right now. So, like, I'm enjoying some other sports right now and taking a little hiatus from football to a certain extent. So, you know, I've gotten over the loss over a minute ago, but, like, just kind of enjoying some other sports, like I said, right now. And I know you're probably doing the same right now with basketball and sports betting, obviously.
Yes, I am.
So, for this episode, we are going to do a mailbag because it is the end of the season. And, you know, we're going to get all of our last thoughts from last season, get our all future thoughts for free agency, draft, whatever you guys want to know for the upcoming season. We're going to get this all in a mailbag. And frankly, we just haven't done a mailbag in forever. So we figured to post one on Instagram and see the responses we get. And, you know, we got a lot of questions, so we're going to try to answer as most of them and we'll go from there. So with that being said, Malcolm, ready for the first question?
Yep.
Mail time.
These nuts. Got him. Got him.
All right. So this is coming from Jacob on Instagram. What do you think is our biggest need, not cornerback, this offseason?
Biggest need, not cornerback. Damn it. Anything on the defensive line. I mean, yeah, Hutchinson needs help. We saw that last season. Those two positions. I mean, I know he said not corner, but those corner and God damn it, D-line, we need help. And if you want to give like a bonus position, I would say offensive line, because I'm not sure what's going to happen with Jordan Jackson.
That's fair, yeah. For me, I think the biggest need this offseason is, I have to agree, I think it's pretty simple. It's on the defense side of the ball. Guard is a big need this offseason, but I think you have to really revamp that defense and get more talent in here. Like, I think we saw at the end of the year the defense played better when they were starting to blitz a little bit more and Aaron Glenn got a little creative. But I think it'd be really big for this Lions defense if Aaron Glenn could be more comfortable with this front four and having to rely on them to get pressure rather than having to be creative and have all these exotic blitzes here and there, which those are nice here and there, but for that to be the only way to generate pressure, you know, it is a concern. And if the Lions want to take that next step, you know, that next level defensively, it starts with that defensive line. So I agree with you. It's whoever can get pressure. If that's an edge rusher, if that is a defensive tackle, they could use both of them very badly. They have one good player at each position. I think they could upgrade the other starter from either of them, if that's the edge rusher, if that's defensive tackle. So I agree with you. I think it has to be the defensive line. And there's some good names this offseason to keep an eye out for the Lions fans. So I think Brad should be aggressive in that facet as well. So I agree with you.
It's going to be interesting, man, because, I mean, we haven't seen Brad be aggressive as far as, like, offseason talent acquisitions, like getting guys, big-name guys to come to Detroit. I mean, I think the only big-name we got was CJ Gardner-Johnson. He got him for pennies and nickels.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, is he going to go out there and spend? I hope he does. But, I mean, I don't know, man. I think that, like, Brad Holmes, like, he has a lot of faith in his guys. And I really believe that he may wait to see what he gets from Broderick Martin. I really believe he does, man. I mean, I don't like it. I mean, I really hope that he goes out there and gets somebody, but, oh, man, I don't know, man. Until he does it, man, it's like the faith of him going after a big name. Like who's some big names out there for defensive tackles or an edge rusher? Because if we get an edge rusher, what are you going to pay him, $30 million? Yeah, $30 million for the year?
It depends who it is. You know, if it's like a Brian Burns, Josh Allen, yeah, probably something. You know, it's going to be a lot of money, obviously. I don't know about $30 million, but, yeah, it's going to be pricey.
Yeah, like okay, those two guys. Do you see Brad Holmes spending money on those two guys? Realistically,
probably not. Not on a young guy coming off his rookie contract who's going to command damn near max money in probably 5 years. I don't see that happening. But a veteran, maybe like Danielle Hunter, who's about to be 30 years old, maybe you get him on a shorter-term deal. He's going to get paid, but you get him on a shorter-term deal. I could see Brad Holmes being more likely to give that contract out rather than a 25-year-old come out for a rookie contract expecting 5 years.
Yeah, exactly. So, Daniel Hunter, what would his contract look like? Do you have an idea, like, as far as, like, what he get, like, a vet? I mean, he's not going to get no vet minimum, but...
No. He's going to get paid. But I would assume it's not going to be 5 years. He could probably get it for 2 or 3 years, which I think Brad would be more willing to do rather than 5 years, because he's going to have to all these extensions very soon with, you know, Panay and Amon-Ra and Goff, and we're going to get into all that. But, like, you know, you're going to get into all these extensions really soon, so... I don't see Brad dishing out a 5-year contract.
So his, I mean, even if it's 3 years, what is it? 3 years, $60 million? That's still like $20 million each.
Yeah, I could see that.
You can see that? It's 3 years, $60 million.
I could see that. Yes.
I mean, I think that's what he's gonna go for. Is Brad Holmes gonna do that? I haven't seen him spend that much money before.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, we haven't seen it, but like we've seen him try to, at least. Like last year, Jalen Ramsey, he really wanted him badly. He just chose Miami. 2 years ago, try to trade for Deebo Samuel and extend him. You know, San Francisco just declines the offer. Like, so I think he has it in him to make the trade. It just takes two teams to tango. And I think if there's an opportunity there, I don't think Brad is hesitant to pull the trigger.
We'll see, man. I hope so, man. Because the Danielle Hunter will help this team out tremendously.
100%. Yeah. I mean, not only taking away from the Vikings, but just adding him to your defensive line is humongous. Hell yeah.
That'll be huge.
Humongous. So, yeah, that's probably where I would go with, though, as far as biggest need outside of cornerback. All right. Second question. This is also from Jacob.
Yep.
Out of Jalen Johnson, Legarius Sneed, or draft the cornerback at 29, what would you guys rather have?
I like Sneed a lot, man. I think Sneed's a guy, plug and play guy. You put him in right away. He's your number one corner. I heard that they're seeking a trade, that they're allowing him to find a training partner. Shoot, I mean, if Detroit want to get pick 29 for him, I'll be all in for it. I'll be stoked. I'll be happy, because you think about it right now, if you draft a rookie, the chances of a rookie at pick 29 coming as a corner. So if you select a corner at 29, the chances of him coming in day one, being your number one starter and locking people down is slim to none. I mean, could it happen? I mean, shit happens everywhere. You know, guys could be instant starters in the third round. You know, you never know. But the chances of that is not high. So I would rather go after Sneed, to be honest with you, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with you to the extent as like I would prefer a veteran. It doesn't necessarily have to be one of those two guys. Legere needs a stud. So if that was him, I would be all in for that. But like I think it's smart for the Lions to be in the veteran market for a corner. Like I think they need a proven guy there because I mean, I think we saw this last season. Like you might have some guys that like are fine to start and you know, in a different role. Like they can't be number one corners. Like I think Cam Sutton's gonna be here next year, regardless. They paid him, he's gonna be here. And he's probably gonna start next year. And I'm okay with that. He just can't have the same role as he did last year. He cannot be your number one corner. So I do think Brad is going to be aggressive and go out and get a veteran corner. And kind of like I was saying about Ramsey, like I don't think Brad even had intentions last year of Cam Sutton being his number one corner. I think he did everything possible for him not to be number one corner. It looked like last year they really wanted Ramsey and he just didn't choose Detroit. And in the draft, Devin Witherspoon. It looked like everything was like indicating that the Lions were going to draft Witherspoon. And, you know, if he was there at six, that was going to be the pick. Obviously, we have no proof, but he goes the pick before. I think Brad was a little, you know, blindsided by that. I don't think he was expecting Witherspoon to be the fifth pick in that draft. And I think he was expecting him to be a Lion. And then he was eventually expected him to probably be the number one corner. Like, I think Brad had intentions of bringing another corner alongside Cam Sutton, and it just didn't work out the way he expected it.
I mean, I'm happy the way the draft fell anyway because I like our guys regardless.
Right. Yeah. No, it ended up working fine. You know, you got Gibbs, you got Campbell, you got Laporta, Branch, whatever. Right.
Yeah.
But I do think every report indicated from last offseason that like Cam Sutton was not the only idea the Lions had at corner. Even to Mosley. Like, I think they had a role for him as well. Obviously, unfortunate situation. He gets hurt in the first game back and only plays 3-4 snaps. So, like, I think Brad is going to be really aggressive with this cornerback, and I think he's going to get a proven guy in here. I truthfully do.
I mean, I think they really felt like, I mean, coming in, I thought they felt like they were okay because, I mean, nobody saw the downfall of Jerry Jacobs. I mean, that reminded me of the Mario Aurier situation. You know, he comes in the year before, he was solid, and he could be a potential number one corner, and then he falls on a cliff.
Yeah.
And then last year, we see the Jerry Jacobs. I mean, the year before, he was our best corner. I mean, basically our best corner. And then last year, he falls off a cliff. I mean, they just didn't see that coming. I mean,
right.
That situation is tough. I think they actually felt like the quarterback room was one of their more deeper rooms. They probably felt that way coming in. But, Lord, that position, that group wasn't. Right. It was pretty rough.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Jacobs fell off, and Sutton was, you know, just – he wasn't a number one corner. I think he proved that. And, yeah, it just didn't work out the way they expected, I think.
I mean, they thought he could have probably, you know, I guess temporarily be that number one corner, but he's just not, he doesn't have the size and speed just to be that number one corner, just to stay with those guys. I mean, luckily, I mean, it could have been worse. His year could have been a lot worse. Luckily, though, the guy worse than him on the other side, and that the team decided to pick on him instead of picking on Cam Sutton. But they wanted to pick and choose, and they wanted to go at Cam Sutton. They could have went at Cam Sutton, but they just luckily, thank God, on his behalf. There was a guy that was absolute worse than him on the other side.
Yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, next question's coming from, is this another James? This is different James, but also, yeah, oh, yeah, Jacob, sorry. Jacob was the first two. Okay. The Jays caught me off guard.
Okay. Gotcha, okay.
So this is a James. Okay, do we keep CJ, GJ?
CJ or DJ?
Gardner Johnson.
CJ Gardner, and then he said DJ.
CJ Gardner Johnson.
Oh, he just said, should we keep CJ Gardner Johnson?
That's the question. So do we keep him?
Do we keep him? And we kind of answered this before, man. I'm happy with our safety room right now, with as far as Kirby Joseph and Ifeanyi-Matafanu. I'm happy with those guys. I think they're young. They have a bright future. And I think as a duo, I think they'll be fine. Now, CJ Gardner Johnson, he's gonna want to start somewhere. I don't see him wanting to be a rotational guy. I don't think the rotational role is a good role in general. I don't think we should have a rotational safety room. Now, if you want to add a guy for depth, that's fine for depth, but not rotation, man. This is too much. The guys can't get a good momentum as far as, you know, making plays because they're in and out, and I don't want that, man. That reminds me. It gives me too much flashbacks of that rotational guard that we had. A fucking pencil head. That shit is pissing me off, man. It's the same shit. Like, no, man. Let these guys play. Let the young guys play. Senior guy Johnson had his time here. Let him, like I said, a good place for him will be in Miami. I think that's where he ends up going anyway, because Miami end up taking all of our players. That's where they go. So, yeah, let him go to Miami. Let him have fun. And he could talk shit in Miami, man. But you know, this is going to be a no for me.
Yeah, I think it's tough because, like, CJ is a luxury, I think, at this point, if you bring him back, because he's not even guaranteed to be a starter. Like, if they needed a nickel, okay, you plug and play CJ. Okay, if you need a safety, plug and play CJ. But, like, those are the positions on the Lions defense that you feel very comfortable with Ifeanyi-Matafanu, how he came onto the scenes in December. Kirby Joseph's going to be a starter. Like, other teams are going to value CJ Gardner Johnson more than the Lions are going to value CJ Gardner Johnson this offseason, because when you're signing him, you're having intentions for him to start. And if the Lions were to re-sign him, that would be great. But, like, there is no guarantee he's a starter with the two other safeties. Now, do I agree they need depth at safety? 100%. I mean, you don't have a backup safety right now. I mean, they released Tracy Walker. CJ, like we're predicting right now, is probably not going to be back next season. So, yes, they definitely need depth at safety, and that could be addressed in free agency and probably the draft as well. But as far as, you know, getting a star talent safety or starting level safety, you don't need to get that this offseason. You have two guys that you're really comfortable with. So I don't think Gardner Johnson returns. I think they are going to roll with Kirby and Ifeanyi going forward.
I agree.
All right. This is coming from a fellow Tyler, and it's a little different. Not necessarily a Lions question, but NFC North question. What do you prefer the Bears to do? Keep Justin Fields or draft Caleb Williams?
Oh, 100% keep Justin Fields. 100%, man. I think Justin Fields, he's limited. He's a guy that he's a one-trick pony. He kills you with his legs. Now, he's not going to – he may go off on a game if it happens. But, like, look at his numbers, man. Like, who do you have? He hasn't cracked the 3,000 yard in a season yet. Like, he just – passing the ball is not his forte right now. So, yeah, I hope they keep him. I'm more terrified of Caleb Williams because he has the traits of being an elite guy. Like, his arm angles, the way he throws the ball, his arm strength, is just too much PTSD of fucking Patrick Mahomes. And if we have that fucker in our division, man, that's not going to be fun for a couple years, man. So, I mean, I don't know. I'd rather them keep Justin Fields. I don't think they're going to do it because I think if you pass up on Caleb, I think if you pass up on Williams, I think you must have lost. I think you're like insane if you pass about him. Unless you, no team to pass, if you're not in position, no team to pass about him unless your quarterback is Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, or Trevor Lawrence, or one of those guys.
I don't even know Trevor Lawrence is in that conversation anymore.
I mean, like every other quarterback, every other team, if they're there, they need to mortgage their future and just start over and just take this guy. He has the tools.
I don't know what I think about this, honestly, because the way I look at Justin Fields, I agree with you. I don't think he's an elite quarterback by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, like you mentioned, he has some limitations, definitely, right?
Yeah.
My worry is, though, is I think Fields could still win in this league. And that might sound crazy to some. I still think Fields could win. If you surround Justin Fields, I think he could win. And I don't think it's necessarily a smart thing for the Bears to necessarily restart. Like, you have an opportunity with two top 10 picks. I think your window is like starting to open right now. Like we saw that defense in the second half once they acquired Montez Sweat. It was starting to get better. And they as a team, they were starting to get better and they were starting to win a lot more games. And, you know, they got a little hot since the trade deadline. And I think their window of being competitive really starts next season. I'm not saying they're division favorites by any means, but like as far as maybe cracking a playoff spot in the NFC, like that's very possible. And I don't know if it's necessarily a smart thing to reset right now. I think you have an opportunity with two top 10 picks. I think you can do similar with the Lions did last year. Get two starters right away. Get help around Justin Fields, and you could win with him. I mean, like, the NFC is not really loaded with many good quarterbacks. I mean, like, it's just a lot of average guys. You know, Jared Goff, Brock Purdy, Dak Prescott. Jordan Love's good, but, you know, maybe he could take that next step. But, like, you know, he's right now, like, still in that average to good level, right? Like, there's a lot of those same tier quarterbacks. And Caleb Williams could be the best of the bunch if he ends up panning out. But I don't know, man. I think it'd be more scary if the Bears go out and get Marvin Harrison, the best receiver we've seen come out in, you know, a very long time. And they use that number 10 pick and maybe improve their offensive line or something like that. Like, I think if you get more talent around Justin Fields, I think he's good enough to win you games and win you big games and get you to the playoffs. So I don't know what I really prefer. I think that scenario could scare me even more, honestly.
Man, they could get all the talent around. I just don't see it working out with Justin Fields, man.
I view him very similarly to Jalen Hurts.
And yeah, we're seeing what's going on with Jalen Hurts right now. It's not looking good right now. The thing is, man, it's just like his progression down the field is not to NFL level. It's really slow. So he's looking at his reads. It's very slow. That's why he gets sacked so much. Everybody's saying offensive line. No, he does have
a lot of sacks on himself. He
looks at one receiver way too long and trying to hold on to the ball way too long. Unless everything gets corrected, he becomes this magical quarterback. I don't care who they surround around him. He's still going to be a mediocre quarterback. And then on top of that, if they do pass up on Caleb Williams, they just pass up on him and roll with fucking Justin Fields. Justin Fields give you another 2,000 yard passing yard season. Close to 1,000 yard rushing yards. That's a normal Justin Fields stats. Caleb Williams go on and become what everybody thinks he becomes.
Right.
The Bears will be sick. This will be another Bear move that they do, that they always do, because they had a chance to get all these quarterbacks, and then they fucking pick Mitch Trubisky, and then the Bears do this. So if they do that, they will be sick. It doesn't matter. Like the Bears right now. I mean. Are they talent depriv right now? They have DJ Moore. I mean, he just didn't do much. I don't know. I guess I'm biased because I'm a Lions fan. When I watch Justin Fields, man, he has a good game to play against the Lions sometimes, but when he plays against other teams, like good teams, man, he looks terrible. He looks awful.
But he was solid in the second half once he came back from the injury.
When he played against bad teams. Look at him played against any decent team. Any team that's decent. He looks terrible. He passes it like he'll have under 200 yard game passing yards. Like this is terrible. Like I guess people are okay with that. If you have under 200 passing yards, but then you have 75 rushing yards, people are like, oh yeah, great game. To me, that's terrible as a quarterback. If you're a quarterback, you're not passing for 250 yards. Like what the fuck are you doing out there? That's just me. That's just how I feel. It's like, if you're not passing for over 200 yards, 250 yards, what the fuck are you doing out there?
That's fair.
So that's just how I view quarterbacks. People view them different because they like the legs and it's exciting, but that's not going to win you games. It's not going to win you. Might win you games. But ain't going to win you a playoff game. Ain't going to get you deep in the playoffs. It's not going to do nothing. It is like I said, chance of injury.
Right, but I think we said the same thing with Jalen Hurts, and they go out and they get A.J. Brown, and we see him, he takes the next step to his game. And now, there is some limitation with Jalen Hurts as well. I think if you get Marvin Harrison, D.J. Moore, like, I think that's a very scary offense for the Bears.
I mean, we see Justin Fields do it 1 year. I mean, I'm still in for Justin. I mean, Jalen Hurts, we see him do it 1 year. I mean, I can't say Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback because he did it only 1 year. I guess the consistency with that. So he had one good year when they got A.J. Brown, and then the next year, when everybody kind of caught up on the tush push, he looked like ass. So it's like, what is Jalen Hurts right now? So
yeah, but like he still was good enough to win you or make you to the playoffs, win you 11 plus games. Like I think that could have a similar affect the Fields. That's my opinion. I think he could do that in
the
right.
See how they started the season and then how they ended the season. I mean, they started the season phenomenal, but then they fell down the cliff. They looked like complete dog shit after that.
They did, yeah.
That's but the only reason why they went to the playoffs because they had a good start.
They did, yes, but I don't know. I think it could work. I think I'm more terrified of the idea of Marvin Harrison and whoever they take a pick at 10. I think they have. I think I'm more terrified of that idea than Caleb Williams.
I'm more terrified of having an elite quarterback in our division. We have an elite quarterback in our division. Oh, that's not gonna be good, man. I can't. I don't want to play. No elite quarterbacks, please.
All right. Well, we can agree to disagree, I guess, over there. All right. All right. Next question we got here. Let's see. Okay, this is from Alex. You are the GM. What are the three things you're doing this offseason to fix the team?
Three things. All right. So first thing first, we talked about this. I'll upgrade the cornerback position. That'll be probably my first move will be upgrade. Well, actually, I take that back. My first move would be to get another defensive lineman in that building. Another guy that could create pressure. And then after that, then I'll go after a corner. A guy that could come in and start instantly. That'll be my two biggest move, man. And then after that, maybe another wide receiver, but I don't know. I mean, I think
would say guard.
You'll say guard? Yeah, because I have no idea what you're going to do with Jordan Jackson.
Yeah, you have to fix out that like thing. Is if you're going to give Jonah his one-year deal or are you going to go out and draft a guy, sign a guy? Like, I think you have to figure that out.
You have to figure that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, the guard position will be huge. Other than that, man, I think we're fine everywhere else, man, but maybe another receiver, unless they're going to give Donovan Peoples-Jones a chance. I don't know. I know they're going to have more faith in J-Mo. They want to see him take that next step and be that, you know, that starter.
Well, that's a perfect segue to the next question. Do you see the Lions increasing J-Mo's role? If so, in what way?
Yeah, I do believe that. That's the next step for J-Mo. I mean, it's being that starter. If he's not a starter next year, we got some real big questions on what are we doing with J-Mo.
Right. And I think Dan Campbell even mentioned that it was at the combine. He was saying that we saw some things from J-Mo, like he progressed as a receiver and they're ready for him to take that next step. And I think now with the full offseason, you know, a clean offseason, we don't have to worry about no damn suspension of him gambling or anything. Like, you know, he's going to be ready to go right away as long as he's healthy, right?
Yeah.
I think the expectation is for him to start. I think the expectation is for him to start with Amon-Ra. And I think the receiver room is fine overall. Like, I think a priority kind of going back to the other question, to this question is, like, I think you have to bring back some of your guys like Reynolds. I know last game that he played was really, really rough for the Niners, yeah. But I still think it's a smart move to bring back Reynolds. I think he's a good guy as a wide receiver three, wide receiver four, could even step in as a two if they needed him to. So I think that's a priority this offseason as well. But I think J-Mo taking that number two spot to go alongside Amon-Ra St. Brown, that's going to be the key this offseason, getting him more snaps this offseason, getting him more targets this offseason. Like, that's going to be the plan going into next season. And we saw that connection with Goff and J-Mo increase a lot towards the end of the year. And I think it takes another step even towards this offseason. You know, have a full offseason. Hopefully he's healthy all the way through. I think that connection could be really money. And J-Mo could finally step into that wide receiver two spot alongside.
Ooh, I mean, if that happens, man, I think another good year from golf is incoming, man.
Yeah. Okay. So we could talk about golf, and these are perfect segues. This is from Ryan. What are your thoughts on golf? Extend him, make him a long-term offer. Thoughts?
Ooh, this might be wild to a lot of people because everybody knows how much I love golf. I've been riding with golf through the ups and downs. I mean, golf is still my guy. But I will say this. I think it'll be premature to extend golf right now.
Wow.
Yeah. And the only reason why I say that is because the uncertainty of Hendon Hooker. They don't know what they have with Hendon Hooker yet. I think it'll be a nightmare. No, it'll be a pretty bad situation if they extend golf 3-4 years. And then next season, guess who's wowing everybody in practice? Hendon Hooker. Hendon Hooker is now out playing golf in practice. Not saying it's going to happen, but I'm just saying the what if. That would be a pretty bad situation. Because now you paid golf this money, you extended him 3 years, it's going to be really hard to bench him. If Hendon Hooker is balling out like that, like if he is the better quarterback and he gives that team the best chance to win. Not saying it's going to happen. Because it's very unlikely. Because this is really his first offseason. But he has, Hendon Hooker has the traits, man. Hendon Hooker is a guy, you know, his senior year, 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He has the tools to play at a high level in the pros. Now, say, you know, if he didn't get hurt, he's a guy that probably goes in the first round. So could he come in right away and light it up? I don't know. I don't know, man. How does he Joe Ben Johnson? I don't know. That's the only reason why. That's the only reason why I say maybe wait another year. See how Hendon Hooker is in practice. See him how he is. Get an idea of what his role is going to be. Is he your future? Is he going to be your backup? I mean, I don't know.
I feel opposite of this. I think it's the time to give Goff his extension. I mean, he's going to be a free agent after this upcoming season. And the more he puts on film with this offense, and I don't expect any drop-off from Goff's play, that price tag keeps going up and up and up and up. I think Goff proved to me that he's the guy. I mean, he did what he had to do last season. He did what he had to do this season before. I have enough games to base off what I'm going to get out of Jared Goff most of the time. Now, will there be a stinker here and there? Will he have a what-the-fuck throw over here and there? Yes, that's every single quarterback in the NFL. But am I confident in saying Jared Goff is a top quarterback in the NFC? Yes, I'm certain of saying that. I think it's time for Jared Goff. He deserves his due, and he deserves his extension. I think it's time for the Lions to give him that security, and I think it happens this offseason. I'm somewhere in the ballpark of 3 or 4 years. I think that is an ideal time frame. And Jared is still relatively young. Like, he's not even 30 years old yet. Like, he's just hitting his prime right now. And he's playing at a high level right now. I understand that Hooker could be the guy. But, hey, man, the Lions have a window right now. They have a championship window right now. And it started last season, that championship window where they have an opportunity to go win a Super Bowl. I'm sorry. I can't take the uncertainty of what Hendon Hooker is going to be with the championship window. Now, if this was 2021, I'm all for it. You know, we don't know what, you know, we're figuring out who our quarterbacks are going to be. We're figuring out what position we're going to do everything. I'm not doing that right now, man. We have a window right now. We know what we have at quarterback. Don't mess that up. It's not worth it to me.
But we still have Goff next year, regardless of what happens.
We have him next year, 100%.
Yeah, 100%.
No. Yes.
Could they even extend him next year? Yes, they can. Even though the price tag may go up.
Yes, but you have a window not just for next year. You have a window for next year, the year after that, and hopefully years and years to come. Like, Goff, I think, is part of this window. Unless he gets injured, that's the only chance I really want to see Hendon Hooker. Like, yeah. You know, I think it's time to give him that extension.
Now, let me ask you a question. Now, say my scenario plays out and say that does happen. You paid Goff. What's the contract looking like? Three or four years?
I think 4 years. He probably makes close to $50 million a year, maybe $45 to $50 million.
Okay, so you just pay golf for that money. Now next year, say, like I said, Hendon Hooker's practicing with the team now. He's doing what Patrick Mahomes did to drive out Alex Smith in practice. Right. He's wowing the coaching staff with his throws, tighter spirals, extending plays with his legs. Ben Johnson is like, holy shit, we could do a lot more with this kid. Then what?
I still think you roll with Goff. Like, I think Goff is your guy regardless. I mean, the thing with Alex Smith, he could never get over the hump. I mean, like, Goff took us to the NFC Championship. Now, if they come up short again next year, okay, maybe that's more of a conversation. But hey, we said the same thing with Jordan Love. Like, when is he going to get his opportunity? When is he going to get his opportunity? They still gave Aaron Rodgers that 4-year extension. Like, things happen down the line. You could make a trade. Like, if Goff is playing at a high level and they think Hendon Hooker's their guy, you could still trade Jared Goff. If that's the case, if that's the case where Hooker is that impressive, someone's going to want Jared Goff.
But how much dead cap are you now? He just paid him. So how much dead cap are you eating after you just paid him?
Well, it depends how long you keep him, you know? I mean,
well, exactly. You just paid him. So you're talking about a 3-year, 4-year deal. Now you're saying, okay, Hendon Hooker's, well, now Hendon Hooker's gives us our best chance to win. Let's play Hendon Hooker. Let's trade Goff.
I don't think there's any scenario where Hendon Hooker's a better option than Goff in 2025 or 2024.
Is this uncertain? I can't say that. I don't know. Nobody knows anything about Hendon Hooker right now other than he was a pretty good, he was a really good college quarterback.
Right.
That's all we know about Hendon Hooker. He was a really good college quarterback.
Right. Now, and you're ready to give that guy the keys to a championship?
Absolutely not. That's what I'm saying. See what you get from Hendon Hooker. See what you have from Hendon Hooker.
But you can still see what you have in him. You still have him in the building. And I understand.
What I'm saying is that, next year, say if he's wowing everybody in the coaching staff in practice, and say he gives you the best chance to win. I'm talking about, like, Goff has his flaws. We know, I love Goff. Everybody knows that, but he has flaws. He throws ducks sometimes. Doesn't have the best deep ball. We all know that. Now, say if Hendon Hooker comes out, everything that Goff can do, Hendon Hooker now can do. Now, what I'm saying is, if he gives you the best chance to win after you just paid Goff, now you're in a pickle. Now you're saying, okay, now we just have to play Goff regardless, no matter if Hendon Hooker gives us the best chance to win, we have to play Goff because we just paid this fucker. there's no ifs, ands, or buts now. You just paid him. So he's your guy. You have to put him out there. But if Hendon Hooker goes out there and now he gives you your best chance to win, like I said, you're in a pickle.
I think if that's the case, then I think you could just bench Goff. But, like, Goff would have to do something significant where he's not playing well, and I just don't see that while he's with this offensive weapons.
Exactly. I mean, I'm not saying that he's going to be playing bad or anything like that, but I'm saying, what if Hendon Hooker gives you the best chance to win?
And unfortunately, he's never going to be able to prove that unless Goff gets hurt. That's just the fact. Well, I mean, practice is practice. He can only do so much in practice. No one's going to be certain and sold on Hendon Hooker until he does it in a game. I'm sorry. That's what it's going to be.
That, as far as the fan base, but
the coaching staff, too.
No, they're going to know what they get from the kid. Just like Patrick, because Patrick Mahomes is the same shit.
He was a first round pick. This guy's a third round pick drafted in the 60s.
If Hendon Hooker wasn't hurt, where were he going?
The Lions are not taking him.
The Lions will not take him, but where would
he have gone? They're taking him because he fell so far, they took a flyer on him.
But where would he have gone? Not saying we would take him, but where would he have gone if he never got hurt?
Maybe late one, early two.
Same thing. So, I mean, he's a first-round talent. Let's say the talent's there. He's a first-round talent. The talent's there. Could it happen next year? Probably not. Maybe he's a backup. Who knows? But they're going to be, like I said, if he's wowing people in practice, setting plays with his legs, making tighter spirals, throwing better deep balls, it's gonna be a pickle.
I think Jared deserves the extension. I think you gave it to him this offseason.
He definitely deserves it. But
I think he's mad if he doesn't get this contract. And, like, one thing we know with the NFL too, and football especially, like, I don't think you want to ruin this team chemistry right now. The team loves Jared Goff. The city loves Jared Goff. I think it's a bad look if they move off Jared Goff too, and they don't give him that extension. I think it's a bad look on the Lions front office. I think you have to get Jared Goff his money for what he's done.
That's a good point. That is a good point. The chemistry does matter.
And you ruin that all potentially for, I mean, a guy who could be better.
That's the thing is, could he be better? And that's the thing that we don't. Nobody. He hasn't had a full. He hasn't been able to practice because Teddy Bridgewater taking all the snaps last year.
Right
now he's gonna come in this year. He's gonna be taking the number two snaps. It's gonna say a lot, man. If he comes in and wows people, man. If he comes in and wows people and just doing the things that Goff can't do, because that's Mahomes in practice, what he was able to do, he was making throws that Alex Smith couldn't do in his wildest dreams. So the coach side was like, "Holy shit, this guy could do this. Alex Smith can't do that at all." So if a similar situation happens, there's going to be a pickle.
Unless Jared gives me a reason not to think that he could do it, like, I think he can win the Super Bowl. So I'm rolling with the guy who I think he can win the Super Bowl.
He definitely can. You know, if you know, all things go well, he definitely could win your Super Bowl. He can win your games. I said that last year. But, I mean, what happened to the guys behind him is you never know.
I mean, I think ultimately that's a good problem to have. If Hendon Hooker is a stud in practice, I really do think it just ends up being a good problem. That you have two options, and then, you know, you see where it goes from there.
Yeah, it could be. Or it could be bad, because you can't play him unless something happens to Jared.
Then you could trade Hooker. Maybe you get a first-round pick out of Hooker then.
No, nobody's going to trade. Unless they're in the building and know and see what the Lions see, then I could trade a first-round
pick. Right. I mean, I don't know. Not a first-round pick, but you know what I mean. Like, maybe you could trade Hooker if he lights it up in the preseason or something like that, like, if that's the case. But I don't think anything that's going to happen. I think Hooker's going to be your back quarterback, and I think that's all it is at the end of the day. I like the guy. I think he's could be a fine player in this league, but I think it's time to give Jared Goff his contract that he deserves it. And Brad Holmes does right by his players, and I think he's going to do right by Jared this offseason.
Yeah, that is true.
All right, going on to the next question. Out of the rookie class from last season, who do you think will have the biggest jump and impact in year two?
Jahmyr Gibbs.
Gibbs?
Yep, Jahmyr Gibbs. Either him. I mean, I think it's a toss-up between him and and Campbell. I can see Campbell having a big year as well. But I'm going more with Jahmyr Gibbs. I think he'll get more touches. And yeah, I think we're gonna see more Jahmyr Gibbs.
I think that's a good one. I think Gibbs is a good one. I think Laporta is obviously a good one too. I think he's gonna have the biggest impact out of the bunch. As much of improvement, I don't know how much more he can improve. He's already a top notch tight end. So
didn't he go to the Pro Bowl?
Yeah. So they were both in the Pro Bowl, him and Gibbs.
Gibbs in the Pro Bowl as well?
Yeah, Gibbs is in the Pro Bowl too.
Oh, look at that.
So I mean, yeah, I don't know how much he improves, but I think as far as the biggest impact, I'll go Laporta, I think.
Yeah, Laporta, that's a big one.
All right. Going on to the next one. This is from Rick. Do we draft or sign a kicker in free agency?
I mean, we already signed a guy. And I don't – right now, man, I don't even care, man. Why I don't care? Because we know what Dan Campbell's going to do. If they're in position to go for it, this he's not gonna kick the field. He's not gonna kick the field goal. He's gonna go for it. I mean, the chance of us needing the kicker out there when Dan Campbell's your coach, it's slim to none. It's not too many situations where your kicker is gonna be used because of Dan Campbell. So I mean, I really do not care.
Yeah, okay. I mean, they signed Badgley back. They're definitely gonna bring another kicker in. I don't know where it's going to come. I would assume probably the draft. Like, not, I don't know if they'll necessarily use a draft pick on a guy, but like, I would assume like an undrafted guy or maybe even a late draft round pick on a guy and bring some competition for Badgley. I mean, I could tell you this for certainty. I know Badgley's not going to be the only guy in August in training camp. Oh, they're going to have another guy competing with him. I know that for certain.
I wouldn't be surprised if what's his name back here, too.
Fucking Riley Patterson.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's just back here in camp just kicking. I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, I mean, it's even interesting to bring up. They re-signed Badgley last year, pretty much similar time frame. I think it was a couple weeks after from when they did it this year. And Badgley didn't even make it to training camp. They cut him before training camp. They went with Riley Patterson. They traded for Riley Patterson, and they brought in John Parker Romo from the XFL, and they had them compete. And then eventually, at some point during the season, they went back and got Michael Badgley and signed him back, and he ended up being the kicker the rest of the way. But so there's not even a guarantee Michael Badgley will even make it to August and compete in training camp. But I think he will. I think he earned some right to get that right to at least compete in training camp. So I think it'll be Badgley, and yeah, I don't know where it comes from. I'm gonna guess the draft. I don't think they go two veterans, but hey, what do I know? It's very possible. I mean, Brad Holmes is gonna have a kicking competition for sure, though. So I'll say a draft though.
Shoot. I mean, how much are they gonna be kicking?
Yeah, I mean, all right, let's get a couple more questions and we'll head out of here. Okay, this is pretty simple. We have no insider report on this, but I'll ask it anyways because people love this. Are the Lions getting new jerseys this year? Huh. They've said it could happen, and if it were to happen, I would assume it happened before the draft. So if that announcement's going to happen, look out for April, I would say, for a jersey announcement if they're going to get them. So we'll see. Maybe.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I like our jerseys. I mean, I don't care.
Yeah, our uniforms are all right. Okay, this is coming from Nolan. Okay. Now that Shaq Barrett has been released from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, do you think the Lions should make a move on Shaq Barrett?
No, I like Hunter more.
Daniel Hunter.
I hope they go after Daniel Hunter. That's the guy who I would want them to go after.
I like Shaq Barrett, but I would definitely prefer a Danielle Hunter. Barrett's had some injuries throughout the last couple of years, but you know, he's proven when he's healthy, he's one of the better edge rushers.
It would definitely be an upgrade to whatever the hell we have right now.
Right. I would like it. If they went out and got Shaq Barrett, I'd be excited about that. So one thing to mention with that, for people that might not know, is that guys that get released before free agency, you could actually sign them right now. Like, as of right now, like, they could sign Shaq Barrett right now. Like, that's how it works. If the guy gets released, you can make that move right now before free agency starts. So, obviously, he's still out there. I could see him waiting till, you know, March when free agency really opens up in a couple of weeks. But that's going to be interesting. I wouldn't mind Shaq Barrett. I think that'd be an interesting fit for the Lions. But I think there's some other names I'd prefer first. But I think Shaq Barrett would be cool for the Lions, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any more good questions? Or here, I got this one, and we could wrap it up. Stephon Gilmore, solid corner remaining figures to help develop Stephon Gilmore. Would you like Stephon Gilmore is basically the question.
You know what? That is a low-key underrated move that I would actually like. I would actually like it. I think he played really well last year, even with the Cowboys. He played well. His role will be very similar to when we had Rasheed Mathis. You know, the older corner comes in, can mentor the guys, and still be productive as well. So I would like the move. And you know what? If they do that, I would hope they draft a corner. I hope they draft a corner somewhere in the first three rounds, have Gilmore mentor him and his little brother as well. And I would like the move, man. I think that would be a good, solid move. And he can start.
It'd be interesting because, like, it's an upgrade because the Lions cornerback room is so bad. So, like, yeah, really Malcolm bad. Hart's an upgrade if I sign him at cornerback.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I might pull a hammy.
Right. But my point is, like, it's so bad. Like, anything's an upgrade. But, like, I don't know. How excited are you if we went to 2024 with Stephon Gilmore and Cam Sutton as your outside corners?
I mean, not so good. But, I mean, he's, what, 34 years old? But he played well last year, didn't he? Am I tripping?
Really? He was good, but he's not a cornerback one anymore.
Yeah, he's not a cornerback one anymore. I mean, like, as far as a mentor, it'll be good. I don't know, man. I think he still has some game in him.
He does. But my point is, like, you gave Son a contract already. I think you have him envisioned to be that veteran of your cornerback room already. So,
yeah, veteran for what? Who is he mentoring?
Whoever you draft or whoever you pick up, like. I don't know. I think you can go. I think you can go more sexier than Stephon Gilmore, in my opinion.
I mean, if I want a mentor, I want somebody that at least had elite in their name at one point. You know.
Yeah, I mean, Gilmore was elite. He was probably one of the best corners at one point.
I would love for him to mentor these young guys. I mean, Cam Sutton, not so much.
I guess that's fair. But the way I'm looking at it, like, Sutton's going to be here regardless. I just don't know how exciting a starting cornerback outside corners is Stephon Gilmore and Cam Sutton.
That look like burnt toast city right there, but
it just doesn't sound that exciting.
34. I mean, I'm talking shit about 34 year old, like, that's old. I mean, it's football old, but
it is. That's what I'm saying. We see the drop off at corner usually when, you know, that age 30 comes around. That's like where you see like some guys get slower and, you know, they're just not the same guys. And like you said, Gilmore's still solid. Like, he could still play ball. I just don't know how exciting that is. I don't think that's ideal for him to be a cornerback one. I just don't.
I think what I'm saying is that bringing him in is not the idea of having him starting all year. It's probably getting one of these younger guys up to speed to take his job.
That's fair. You know, if they wanted to do that, I could see that potential thing. That makes sense. Like, if you draft a corner hypothetically in the first round and then you sign Stephon Gilmore and you have Gilmore and Sutton start, and then you hope that rookie by, you know, week four, week five, or maybe even a little later in the season, he could take one of those guys' jobs, and then you roll with Gilmore's son, whoever's playing better at the cornerback too. Like, I think that could work.
Yeah.
But I don't think Stephon Gilmore should be your intentions of, like, hey, this is going to be the only corner we're bringing in this offseason. Like, you would definitely have to draft the guy if Gilmore's part of your plans and signing.
Let me ask a bonus question out here. If we did do that and brought in Stephon Gilmore, his little brother's here. And his little brother played really well in preseason. Could his brother actually have a role in this team next year? Do you see him taking a chance and maybe having him get a look at some cornerback starting positions, you know?
I don't think necessarily to start right away. I think he has an opportunity to be more of a depth piece, though. Like, he could be the next man up. You know, I think they kept him on the roster for a reason. You know, they kept him all year. I know he was a healthy scratch every single game, but like they kept him on the 53-man roster, which speaks volumes. Like that they liked the guy, they liked his development, and they want to keep him around for some reason. So I don't see a scenario where Stephen Gilmore is your starting corner going into the season. I would be pretty stunned, but could he be your cornerback three, next man up? I could see that potentially. You know, I think that's really in play. If he develops and has a good offseason, has a good preseason, I could see that. But no, I don't see him, Stephen Gilmore, starting in 2024 as far as week one.
Oh, no, week one, hell no. I always just use that scenario as far as like maybe that could be one of the guys, you know, Stephon Gilmore will be able to mentor. It'll be his little brother. He'll be
one of those guys. I think that'd be cool to have both of them on the team.
Yeah, it would be. That would be very similar to the chorus, and we saw how that worked out.
Yeah, I mean, one of them is already gone, and I'm assuming the other one's going to be really gone soon. There's that. Okay. That's pretty much it. There was a couple other questions, but a lot of them were pretty similar to what we already answered, so no point in repeating ourselves. So that's pretty much all we got for now. Malcolm, got anything else to add to this mailbag?
No.
No? Okay. Yeah, that's simple as that. No. Okay. Hope you guys all enjoyed this episode. We will be back very, very soon. What we're going to record next? I don't know. Leave some ideas. We need some ideas. So we're going to record next. Hopefully an interview maybe soon. We'll do something like that very soon. So we'll see what happens there. But for now, that's all I got for you guys. Hope you guys all enjoyed. I'm out, guys. Peace.
All right, y'all. It's your boy, Malcolm. Yerp. And I'm out, man. Peace.